Well, good morning, Marshall. I'm doing just fine. And, you know, I've got all kind of information this morning in today's show. Actually, I have a gentleman that's got all kind of air rifle information, Terry Tate. Did you know, Marshall, that without an air rifle, the Lewis and Clark expedition probably would not have been a success? Terry's going to tell us all about it. Terry, thanks for spending some time with us this morning, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Luke.
You know, you have opened my eyes up to the world of air rifles, big bore air rifles. Marshall, Terry recently killed a boar, a wild boar that weighed 405 pounds with an air rifle. Right, Terry?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know most of what you explained to me, that they're rifles that are a big enough caliber and enough foot-pounds of energy to, if they can kill a shoot completely through a big wild boar, I mean, you could use them to hunt just about anything, couldn't you?
Yes, sir. They have killed elk, big boars, deer, African plains game. There's been lots of big animals taken with air rifles over several hundred years, actually.
That's right. And, you know, back to the Lewis and Clark expedition, without an air rifle, I've learned that expedition probably would not have been a success, right?
Well, that's what they're claiming, that the air rifle sure kept the Indians at bay because they didn't know how many of the air rifles they had. And they saw them be able to shoot 15 to 20 shots in a row with no noise, and it really impressed them.
So I guess when the expedition, Lewis, when he'd put on a little shooting program for the tribes that he'd come up on, when they saw that, they didn't know if the rest were flintlocks or if they were air rifles, right?
Yeah, the air rifles impressed them a lot more than the smoking flintlocks.
That's absolutely amazing. Well, tell us a little bit about the calibers. Folks, now, Terry makes air rifles. He builds them and designs them, too, so he knows a whole bunch about it. But you obviously need a pretty good projectile to a pretty heavy projectile to get the energy to harvest, say, an elk-sized animal, right?
Well, you do. You need to shoot a projectile at a pretty good speed and get up to around a 300 foot-pounds of energy and up to take a bigger animal. The 177, 22 caliber, and 25 caliber are kind of considered small bore guns now, and then from 25 caliber up, you get into your bigger bores, and they go from 30 caliber to 45 caliber to 50 caliber to 20 gauge. There's even some 12 gauge air rifles out there that's putting out close to 1,000 foot-pounds of energy.
Wow. Now, say, for instance, a group, a shot group at 50 yards, Terry, if you're going to, you know, shooting off sandbags, a real good rest and a scope, one of the air rifles, just say, for instance, that you make, what kind of group would you expect to shoot at, say, 50 yards?
I expect an inch to an inch and a half group. That's pretty much expected, like you would a hunting rifle. 2-inch group is pretty customary. If they get worse than that, something needs to be done to them.
Okay. And now the trajectory, say, from 50 yards to 100 yards. I bow hunt a lot, and I know that Marshall Bailey's a big bow hunter, too. So we savvy, and I bet a lot of our listeners savvy trajectory, but that heavy hunk of lead, you know, it's got to have some drop, especially at the lower speeds that an air rifle is pushing. So would it, if you were dead on, say, at 50, would it drop a whole lot out to 100?
Well, you're looking at probably a 6-inch drop with a 300-grain bullet if you're shooting it, you know, at 800 feet a second. It's very easy to calculate out, and most of your air rifles that you hunt with, you'll put a mil-dot scope on, and we try to keep our shots under 100 yards anyway. It's kind of an ethical thing, and kind of like bow hunting. You know, the closer you can get, the better it is.
Very true. Well, foot-pounds of energy is something most people understand or have a working idea of. Say, for instance, at 50 yards with one of your big bores that you build, what kind of foot-pounds do you think it would generate shooting, say, a 225-grain hunk of lead there?
Well, I was shooting, I'll give you, for instance, one yesterday. I was shooting my 308. And with 2,500 PSI fill, the first shot was traveling at 900 feet a second. And that's about roughly around 200 foot-pounds of energy, which is plenty to kill big game. The next shot, well, I had eight other shots, and at the last of the eight shots, it was down to 825 feet per second, which is about 185 foot-pounds of energy. Still plenty to kill game.
Yes, Terry, a lot of our listeners are just like I was when I first started talking to you. How do you charge these air rifles with pressure?
Well, we started out with scuba tanks, and they've elevated up now to carbon fiber tanks, which will hold more pressure. You can go up to 4,500 PSI with the carbon fibers. You do get more air capacity in a carbon fiber tank than you can a scuba tank. They're a lot lighter, and you get a lot of fills off of a tank. They have different sizes, one you can throw in your backpack or one that you have to carry in your truck.
Awesome. Terry, one last question that I'd like to really like our listeners to know. You've already instructed me on this. The technology for big bore air rifles, you told me it's been around a long time. I think you told me the first ones were, if I'm not mistaken, the 16th or 15th century. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Around 1563, they were using air rifles against Napoleon's army in Austria. And that's what they equipped their armies with. They almost wiped them out. And they considered anyone that got caught with a air rifle to be an assassin, and they were immediately executed. And that's where the term with air rifles got the silent death, because they couldn't hear them, and they would stand off a couple 300 yards and rain pellets down onto them out of a 40 caliber gun, and they never knew which way they were coming from.
Very, very interesting. I could spend 2 or 3 hours talking with you, Terry, and I bet our listeners would like to learn more, and maybe we can get you back in the near future and go into more detail. But for now, I do believe that we're right on the verge of big bore air rifles becoming very, very popular. What's your thoughts there, Terry?
Well, there's been lots of states change their opinions on air and letting us hunt with them now. Missouri is one, Virginia, Washington State, Colorado. There's more and more states are opening up all the time to air and seeing what we can do with it. So I do think in the future it's going to be like the compound bow and the crossbow. Everyone's going to want to do it.
I think you're right, buddy. Well, we really appreciate all the information that you've given us, and we look forward to getting you back again soon, okay?
Thank you, Luke.
Support for High Plains Outdoors comes from the Dallas Safari Club, Sniper Hog Lights, and Hoff Power Polaris. Since 1972, the Dallas Safari Club has been a gathering point for hunters, conservationists, and wildlife enthusiasts. More information online at biggame.org. Sniper Hog Lights, maker of hunting lights for bows, crossbows, rifles, and shotgun. On the web at sniperhawglights.com. Also from Hoff Power Polaris, located in Goldwaith, Texas, Hoff Power offers a full line of Polaris off-road vehicles.